A number of years ago, Robert Redford played in a movie entitled All Is Lost. He was the only cast member in the movie. In fact, the movie had only 51 words of dialogue, a monologue, I guess you might say, in the movie itself. The story was of a sailor stranded alone at sea in the Indian Ocean. For this movie, Redford was nominated for a Golden Globe Award and won the New York Film Critics Award for Best Actor whenever he starred in All Is Lost. The title of the movie was a nod to the English poet E.W. Horning, who said, "When hope is lost, all is lost." And that one phrase summarizes God's people as we come to the final chapter of the Chronicler. The book of Kings records the history of the northern kingdom. Israel split up into a civil war, north and south. The northern kingdom is the book of Kings, 1st and 2nd Kings. And 1st and 2nd Chronicles deals with the southern portion, the history of Judah. So as we come to the final chapter of the Chronicles, the northern kingdom has fallen to the Assyrians, and the southern kingdom is left, but it is about to fall as well to the Babylonians. There is one final king of Judah left to save them. His name is Zedekiah, and he fails miserably. Read with me his story, 2 Chronicles 36, starting in verse 11. Zedekiah was 21 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. He did what was evil in the sight of the Lord his God. He did not humble himself before Jeremiah the prophet, who spoke from the mouth of the Lord. He also rebelled against King Nebuchadnezzar, who had made him swear by God. He stiffened his neck and hardened his heart against turning to the Lord, the God of Israel. All the officers of the priests and the people likewise were exceedingly unfaithful, following all the abominations of the nations, and they polluted the house of the Lord that he had made holy in Jerusalem. The Lord, the God of their fathers, sent persistently to them by his messengers because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. But they kept mocking the messengers of God, despising his words and scoffing at his prophets, until the wrath of the Lord rose against his people, until there was no remedy. Now this morning, I want us to look at the tragic downfall of King Zedekiah. Because as we look at his story, we learn lessons about our own selves, maybe some things that you may be going through or I may be going through, and I want us to see the lessons that we learn. There are three reasons that King Zedekiah fell and had a tragic downfall in his kingdom. Let's look at all three of those this morning and evaluate our own lives in light of them. First of all, number one, the first reason, he did not learn from the mistakes of others. Number one, he did not learn from the mistakes of others. Our story picks up 597 BC. King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon invaded Judah, that was all that was left of Israel, invaded Judah, and he captured the kingdom. He captured Jerusalem, he burned it, he went into the temple, he stripped the gold and the silver out of it, took it back home with him. And so he deposed the king of Judah, and he put in his place his own king by the name of Zedekiah. So he put him up as the new king of God's people of Judah. Now, Zedekiah was not his birth name. His birth name was Mattaniah, which meant God is great, or gift of God. The name Zedekiah meant God is righteous. And so he changed his name whenever Nebuchadnezzar put him on the throne. Now, a little bit about Zedekiah. He had a godly heritage. His dad was a godly man. In fact, his dad was the best king Judah ever had, Josiah. So Zedekiah had as a model figure his dad, who was a good man and a godly man, reigned for 31 years, his dad did. And the Bible tells us Josiah did what was right in the eyes of the Lord and brought all the people back to God's word. Good man. So Zedekiah had a good and a godly heritage, but he chose not to follow it. And you know, there are people, I'm sure, here this morning that you're exactly like Zedekiah. You were raised in a godly way. You had a godly mother. Maybe you had a godly father. Maybe you had a godly grandmother or grandfather, but you were raised knowing the Bible. You were raised in church. And since that time, you've kind of gone your own way. Happened to Zedekiah. Sometimes that happens. Sometimes we're not walking now like we used to walk with the Lord. We're not walking in His ways. We're disobeying God's word. Maybe you're out of church. Maybe you're here today, but you're really not active that much anymore. Maybe you're doing things and going places that you were not taught to do growing up. That was Zedekiah, godly dad. But he chose to go away from the Lord. Now, Zedekiah also had some negative examples in his life. Not just positive, he had the negative. So King Josiah was king of Judah, let's say over here, and Zedekiah became king of Judah later on. In between Josiah and Zedekiah, there were three kings. Zedekiah knew all of them. And all three, poor examples. First of all, after Josiah's godly reign, his son, which would be Zedekiah's brother, was named Jehoahaz. And he was so ungodly, after 3 months, God booted him. He did evil in the eyes of the Lord. This is Zedekiah's brother. So they replaced Jehoahaz with a second of Zedekiah's brothers named Jehoiakim. And he too was ungodly. 11 years he reigned and did evil in the sight of the Lord. And God booted him. So we have a third king. It actually happened to be Zedekiah's nephew named Jehoiachin. And he was ungodly, did what was evil in the eyes of the Lord, and after 3 months, God booted him. So, you have Josiah, great and godly king. His son Jehoahaz, terrible. His son, another son, Jehoiakim, terrible. Zedekiah's nephew, Jehoiachin, terrible. And Zedekiah comes along, and he has a choice to make. Do I follow dad, or do I follow my brothers and my nephew? Evil. And he chose evil. He chose to reject his dad. And the Bible says Zedekiah did what was evil in the eyes of the Lord. And you know, folks, you and I have a choice. God is not going to force you to love Him. God is not going to force you to be at church. God is not going to force you to follow His commands. He gives you a choice. And with that choice, we must choose Him back. Zedekiah did not learn from the mistakes of his brothers and nephew. You know, the stock market crashed in 1929, and after it did, economists said, we're not going to let that happen again. We saw the causes of it. There was overconfidence. There are high interest rates. There, you could buy stocks with easy credit, a lot of different reasons. There were unscrupulous financiers, a lot of reasons why. So after the stock market crash of 1929, there developed in Edinburgh, Scotland, a library called the Library of Mistakes. And what they did, they published books and articles and journals, all from the economy, but all on money and finance, looking at all the mistakes that were made in the past, and this library was supposedly going to keep us from ever making those mistakes again. And it didn't happen. 2008, we had something similar to 1929. You know, folks, you and I spiritually have a library of mistakes right here. People who did the wrong things. People who made wrong choices. People who God set out one way and they went the other way. We have a library full of wrong decisions to make. We have no excuse to choose the wrong ways. Yet we do. And the first mistake Zedekiah made was of not avoiding the mistakes of other people. But I want you to notice a second mistake he made. He trusted the wrong person. He trusted the wrong person. Now, historically, here's what happened. King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon went into Judah, captured everything, took captives, about 10,000 of them, back to Babylon to live with him, destroyed this much of the city, destroyed much of the temple, set Zedekiah up as the king. And Nebuchadnezzar went back to Babylon with the understanding, Zedekiah, you are going to run things here in Judah, and you are going to be my puppet. I'm going to pull the strings. I'm going to control things from afar. You're going to be faithful to me, and I'll run the show from a distance, from several hundred miles away, but you are my puppet king. Nebuchadnezzar left, took the captives, about 10,000 of them, Israelites, and went back to Babylon. So, Zedekiah has a choice. He can be the puppet of a pagan king hundreds of miles away. Do exactly what this lost pagan king wants him to do. It's a choice. Or he could trust the God of Israel, follow his words, ignore Nebuchadnezzar, and follow God. It's a choice. We have the same choices. And Zedekiah chose neither one. He went to a third option. You see, Babylon was to the north of Israel. To the south of Israel is another large, very large country that was the second most powerful to Babylon, Egypt. So Zedekiah got to thinking, I don't want to follow the Lord and I don't want to follow Nebuchadnezzar. What if I go to Egypt and go to the king and say, look, I'm going to rebel against Nebuchadnezzar. He's going to be angry. He's going to march in and try to capture me. But whenever he does, you and I will team up. Your forces of Egypt, our forces here, will team up together. We'll overthrow him, and we will be the world's greatest power. An alliance with an ungodly nation. Well, the king of Egypt at that time was probably, they call their kings pharaohs, and so it was probably Pharaoh Psammeticus II. Psammeticus was a good warrior himself, but he couldn't assemble an army. And he was more of a builder than a fighter. So Psammeticus says, oh, sure, that sounds great, Zedekiah, count me in. You and I will go to war against Nebuchadnezzar and Babylon when he comes down. But the only problem was Psammeticus wasn't very able, and he couldn't really pull it off. Folks, be careful. Trusting the wrong people. Be careful making an alliance because you don't want to do what God wants you to do, so you make an alliance with somebody else that you think's going to better your life. They won't. Anytime you trust a person more than you trust God, you're going to be disappointed. And he trusted the wrong one. Now, we're going to see in a moment what happened. Zedekiah rebelled against Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar got angry and marched a second time into Jerusalem, and he appealed to the king of Egypt, and he wasn't there. Whenever you trust the wrong person, it sets you up for all kinds of things. An abusive relationship, financial problems, being taken advantage of. A lot of things happen when you trust the wrong people. I read an article a while back in the Journal of Neuroscience. I don't sit around reading that all the time, but I read this one, the Journal of Neuroscience, and it quoted a study from Dartmouth University. And Dartmouth did a study, and they basically determined, how do we trust people? And the study said that most of us, whenever we meet somebody for the first time, we determine within the first 3/100ths of a second whether we can trust them or not. That's quicker than the blink of an eye. We meet somebody, and immediately our minds go, I can trust them or I can't trust them. Several factors go into play. How they're dressed, if they're dressed nice or we trust them more. Facial features, certain facial features we trust more than we do others. The shape of our face, some are more trustworthy than others. And so all of this science that goes behind, we immediately determine whether we can trust somebody within 3/100ths of a second. And folks, many times we're wrong. And we start trusting them over God. Sometimes. And it was Zedekiah's downfall to trust the wrong one who let him down. Some of you, life's not going good. You're trusting the wrong places. You're trusting people, trusting family. You're not trusting God. But there was a third reason why Zedekiah failed. Didn't learn from past mistakes. Trusted the wrong person. But number three, he did not listen when God told him something. Did not listen when God spoke. Now, we're not told in Chronicles what happened in the rest of the story. We are, if you put 2 Kings 25 along with the prophet Jeremiah together. Let me share with you what happened in the rest of the story. God sent Zedekiah a prophet because he would not listen to him. Wouldn't listen to God, so God sent a spokesman, a prophet by the name of Jeremiah. Jeremiah was called very early in life to be a prophet. His dad was a priest. He lived in the little small village of Anatoth, just outside of Jerusalem. And so Jeremiah grew up, and God said, Jeremiah, Zedekiah the king is no longer listening to me. You go and speak to him, and I will give you a word to speak to him. So Jeremiah went. Zedekiah saw him coming. Oh, it's the prophet of the Lord. I just wanted to see you. Why don't you pray and intercede for me to the Lord and see if he can get me out of this mess somehow between Babylon and Egypt and all that's going on. Pray for me. Okay, you prayed for him. What did God say? Well, God said, your only option is surrender. What? Yeah, Nebuchadnezzar's on his way. When he gets here, give up. Give up, that's not a very good option. It's your best one. Just surrender. Go live in Babylon. Be a slave. It's your best option. Zedekiah, well, I don't like that message. I'm going to ask somebody else. So he called in what were called the false prophets. Those people that would hang around the king, supposedly having a word from God, and they always would share only what the king wanted to hear. Folks, do you know there are always people around you that will tell you what you want to hear? They don't tell you the truth. There are always people around who will tell you what you want to hear. And so Zedekiah called them in. Your prophets, do you have another word? I don't like what Jeremiah said. And so they said, oh, we'll pray for you, king. And they prayed, oh, yes, God has given you a positive word. Oh, really? Yes, he's going to throw off Babylon, and within 2 years, they're going to be no more, and you're going to be reigning. Really? Yes. Wait a minute, that's not what Jeremiah said. Why the difference between Jeremiah and what you say? Why don't we just gather in the morning and have a meeting of the heads, and let's all determine what is God really saying? So the next morning they all gathered to find out what is God really saying. And Jeremiah showed up to the meeting dressed rather odd. He walked into the meeting, and he is carrying on his shoulders a yoke, a wooden yoke, like you yoke oxen together. And so he's carrying this in, and Zedekiah says, what on earth are you doing? And the false prophets, led by Hananiah, what on earth are you doing? And Jeremiah says, well, Zedekiah, this is a symbol. This is a visual God is giving you. You are going to be yoked to Babylon and Nebuchadnezzar like oxen. You're going to be in bondage. And Hananiah, one of the false prophets, got furious and went over there to Jeremiah, knocked the yoke off of his shoulder and broke it and says, let me tell you something. That is not what God's going to say. Let me get a word from the Lord. God is telling us within 2 years, Babylon will be overthrown. And God spoke to Jeremiah and said, Jeremiah, you tell Hananiah I got a message for him. Within 1 year, he'll be dead. And the yoke won't be wooden, it'll be iron. Jeremiah 28:17 tells us within 7 months, Hananiah was dead. So Jeremiah wrote a letter to God's people, Judah, as well as those in captivity. Remember the 10,000 that were carried back to Babylon? He wrote a letter to them as well. And here's what he said. You've been hearing from false teachers things are going to get better in a year or two. Well, it's not going to happen. Actually, it's going to be about 70 years before you get out. Might as well build houses and plant gardens and raise kids. Work for the better of the kingdom there, because it's where you're going to be for a while. But God has not given you up. He loves you too much. And God one day is going to turn your fortunes around. And that's where we get to Jeremiah 20:11. I know the plans I have for you. Plans for good, not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. And you will seek me whenever you seek me. Then you'll find me when you seek me with all your heart. And he wrote this heartfelt letter saying, God has not given you up. Well, Zedekiah was furious. He was so angry at Jeremiah that he grabbed him, put him in chains, and placed him in prison in the palace courtyard. And he was furious with Jeremiah. And he said, Jeremiah, you pray to God again and give me his message, but it better be good. And Jeremiah prayed again and says, go, king, I'm reiterating again, the message is give up. No, that's not what I wanted to hear, but that's God's message. And enraged, Zedekiah said, change your message. He was angry. And folks, that's the same message from our culture.
They don't like what we stand for. They don't like what we say the Bible believe. We believe the Bible and what the Bible says. And culture angrily looks at you and says, change your message. What you believe about homosexuality and what you believe about transgenderism, what you believe about marriage, all that you believe from this, you change your message. They're angry about it. And Jeremiah said, King, I will not change my message. In fact, God's given me another one. What is it? Nebuchadnezzar's almost here. He heard about you rebelling and going down to Egypt. He's here. Here's what's going to happen. Oh, king, he's going to march in. And he's going to capture you. And he's going to chain you and take you back to Babylon as a slave. You'll have hardship. You'll live a long life there, but you'll die there. Well, I don't like that message. When all of a sudden, Nebuchadnezzar arrives. It's night. In fact, the Bible tells us it was during the month of Kislev, whenever he came, which would be late November, early December, exactly our time of year. He arrived at night, and the Bible said Zedekiah fled. He ran, trying to get away from Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar grabbed him, captured him, and the very first thing he had made Zedekiah do was he executed his sons right in front of him, made him watch, killed his sons. After he killed his sons, he gouged out the eyes of Zedekiah where he was totally blind, put him in chains, marched him back to Babylon, and Zedekiah's end had come. Zedekiah lost his sons, he lost his sight, he lost his throne, and he lost his freedom because he didn't learn from other people's mistakes, and he trusted the wrong people, and whenever God spoke, he ignored him. I hope you don't make the same mistakes. One more note and I'll close. We are told after this that Israel and Judah as a nation fell, no longer to rise to that prominence again. The Bible tells us in verses 15 and 16, what I read just a moment ago, what happened afterwards. God constantly sent them messengers because of his compassion, but they kept mocking the messengers, despising his word, scoffing at the prophets, until there was no remedy. Did you see the last phrase there on the screen? Until there was no remedy. So the Old Testament closes with Israel never to rise again. Well, 70 years later, a remnant came back and limped back and tried to sift through the rubble and charred remains of Jerusalem and put a semblance of a life back together again, but it wasn't the same. And the Old Testament closes with the people of God wayward. There's no remedy. Their sinfulness is too great. They are in darkness. Old Testament ends. Between the Old Testament and the New Testament, 400 years, darkness, no word from God. The people walking in darkness, the people desperately wanting to hear from God, and he's not speaking anywhere. People were wayward. There was no remedy. All was lost. Until the darkness was pierced the baby's cry. Bethlehem, a manger. And the people who walked in darkness saw a great light. And the remedy had arrived. Welcome to the Christmas season. Father, thank you today that we have a Savior. Thank you, Father, that we are no longer among the people who walk in darkness, wayward, without a remedy. Thank you. After all that time, you came, hope came, light came, Jesus came. Father, I pray you'll bless the celebration of what happened this coming weeks, but I pray today will be a time, God, whenever we acknowledge, Lord, sometimes we have not avoided the mistakes of others and we trust the wrong people, and just to be honest, God, sometimes we don't listen to you when you speak, so forgive us. And God, may today be a day we turn from that, turn from our waywardness, turn to you. So, Father, give us courage in this moment to step out and go the right direction toward you. In Jesus' name, amen.